Welcome to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd with you every Wednesday, noon to 1 o'clock on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And as my beautiful radio husband winds down his show, I'm happy that you've tuned in to KKFI, either online at kkfi.org or, through your radio app on your phone and all. And listening online is terrific, too. So sometimes you're not always, car radio or your home radio is never always handy either. But I'm glad that you're here. I've got Arzu Umali, who's here, Eve Ott, Betty Reese, Susie Aaron, Lori Mutton, and Jameson Bales. It's a full hour of creativity and art, words, just lots of activity. Goodbye, my love. So, we're going to start off with Arzu Umali, who's the assistant director of the Women's Center at UMKC. And she wants to talk about the Anatomy of the Wound, which is a community art project that features artwork that reflects the emotional wounds caused by recent violence in the world. And we're going to talk about that and the opening reception, closing reception, and everything in between. So welcome, my friend, Arzu.
Thank you, Maria. Thanks for having me.
You bet. You're always a wonderful presence here at our studio. So this is sort of the second part of Common Threads, Anatomy of the Wound, which took place last year. Was that the first?
Yes. My co-artist, Sunny Ruffin, who couldn't be here with me today.
We love her.
We love Sunny, yes. She and I conceived of Anatomy of the Wound. Actually, it's called Common Threads, Anatomy of the Wound, because of just what we were hearing and seeing in the headlines with recent gun violence and violence against women and communities of color, immigrants, marginalized communities. And so it was really impacting not just us, but a lot of our friends. And we, as artists, we knew there was something we could do using our art to communicate these feelings. So last summer, we pulled together this exhibit, invited some of our friends and community members to help join us, create some artwork, and we exhibited it at the Lidi Volkas Art Center in October or September and October last year.
And that had a huge reach because so many community members and artists were available for that. But I think most importantly it's the sentiment that art can heal. I've heard that from so many artists and poets and writers and arts organizations, so it really has an impact on the community. I also want to say that this is also, the art can help heal the wound. It's also in partnership with the Country Club Congregational United Church of Christ, right?
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So one of the artists that participated in last fall's exhibit is a member of that church, and when we were talking about the ending of the show at the Lidi Volkas, she asked, what's going to happen to all these pieces, because the artists who participated actually donated, most of them donated the pieces to this collection so that it could be kept together. And so it was actually Jean Ayers, who is a local quilter, she said, my church would love to show this.
Hmm.
And I said, that's great, because, it's just going to go into a box in my studio waiting for another home. So, yes, we really appreciate the church for letting us show the pieces again.
And if you could give a little bit about Common Threads, Anatomy of the Wound, in terms of what you're looking for from the artist, because I know there's one thing in particular that has to be present, and that is a red heart.
Right. So we did give the artist some guidelines, and we actually also provided some of the material. So Sunny Ruffin, who is a quilt and fiber artist, put together some packets of fabric, and we just asked people to create a piece of artwork that was 14 inches by 14 inches square using the materials that we provided, but also their own materials, and they didn't have to stick with just fiber and textiles. They could, we had some pieces that were painted on canvas, some on wood, but the other rule was that there had to be a red heart included in each piece. And that was interpreted very broadly, too. Our first exhibit, we received almost 50 pieces for that show, and there were different interpretations of the heart.
I can imagine. And I want to ask you, are you currently looking for artists to participate, or do you have your set of folks that are going to be in this next show?
Well, for this show, we did open up another call. The call has closed, and pieces should start coming into me actually starting this Friday. And so we did grow the exhibit from last time, and we did have more people pick up some of the packets. I've already had two new submissions, and I know that the church really gathered their community, mm-hmm. And especially even some of the children, to create pieces for this.
Oh, that's
this
terrific. Yeah, it's important to get them involved.
Exactly, you know. Because, you know, they're aware of the things that are happening in the community, and they see and hear things. And so it's always, you know, good that, you know, as they're creating these pieces, that conversations happen as well, so that, you know, they're not left in the dark and they understand that this is reality.
Absolutely. If you have just tuned in, I'm talking to Arzi Umali, who is the Assistant Director of the Women's Center at UMKC. We're talking about Common Threads, Anatomy of the Wound, which is a community art project that features artwork that reflects the emotional wounds caused by recent violence in the world. And it could be violence against women and girls, communities of color, immigrants, and individuals and allies in the LGBT community. And then the opening reception, I want to talk about that, is on Saturday, February 18th, from 3 to 5. And that's also going to be at the Country Club Congregational United Church, right?
Exactly.
Of Christ.
Yes.
At 205 West 65th Street in Kansas City, Missouri. And a website, if people want more information or directions or just want to get a full scope of the project.
They can go to the UMKC Women's Center website. We have the event listed there, and also on the UMKC Women's Center Facebook page. Mm-hmm. There's more information. The exhibit is only up for 2 weeks, so, you know, we hope that people can get to the opening as well as the closing reception, which is on March 4th at the church.
And I do want to mention that Common Threads, Common Voices, Words from the Wound will actually take place too. That's in connection with this Common Threads, Anatomy of the Wound. That's going to be Tuesday, February 28th from 6 to 8 o'clock at Country Club Congregational United Church of Christ. So it's an evening of poetry and spoken word featuring local poets performing verbal artistry that confronts and examines the violence plaguing our communities. Also hear excerpts from the UMKC production of the Vagina Monologues.
Exactly.
We talked about that in the
dinner. The Women's Center is in their 12th year of hosting a production of the Vagina Monologues, which is a benefit performance that benefits Eve Ensler's V-Day program, as well as the UMKC Women's Center. The monologues this year are on Thursday, February 16th, at the UMKC Student Union Theater, and the performance starts at 7:30.
Terrific. Is there anything that I left out that we want to talk about, Arzi?
I think you've covered it. I really appreciate being here. And really, you had us on in the fall talking about the Common Threads exhibit. And it's really important that, you know, like you said, we use our art to help heal and to help deal with our exposure to all of this violence and trauma that's happening around us. So the next incarnation of this exhibit is coming up and opening on February 17th or 18th,
18th,
like
uh-huh.
I said. But we're open to having it at other venues too. Mm-hmm. So and growing it and including more and more people to participate.
Well, I like what happened in that last year at the Lady Volcus, and then someone came up to you and said, "Hey." So I think, you know, continuing it. It's really important. This dialogue, this work, this mission is really important. I do want to mention that the closing reception is Saturday, March 4th from 3 to 5. Words and songs by the KC Transfinity Chorus. And, so that will be next month.
Yes.
Fairly short turnaround, but at any rate, could you give us the website again?
It's at the UMKC Women's Center's website. It's info.umkc.edu/womenc.
We love having you here in the studio. You're always such a delightful person with great energy. Thank you so much, Artsy.
Well, thank you, Maria. Anytime. I'm happy to be here.
Very good. We're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio right after this. Welcome back to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd at 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We love that you have tuned in with us. And, you know, I should mention that right now we are going through the 2017 Winter Pledge Fund Drive. So I would love to hear from you. I would love for you to call in with your donation of support for this radio station, this little old radio station. Please call 888-931-0901. And I want to thank folks for calling in last week. My friend Joelle, just a wonderful person. And we've got some anonymous donors online and that, which you can also pledge online at kkfi.org. So thank you so much for keeping this radio station alive, because it's a priority, and we appreciate that. Next up, we've got the wonderful, talented, wickedly funny Eve Ott with the Riverfront Readings and the committee. The Riverfront Readings is a series of poetry and fiction readings that started in Kansas City back in 1986 by Philip Miller and Don Blevins. And Eve's going to talk about the Phil Miller Scholarship Reading, Valentine's Day Massacre in Open Mic. Welcome.
Hi, Maria.
Hello, friend. So, how many years is this now?
This is the sixth annual. It doesn't seem possible that Phil's not been with us that long.
And we
still miss him very much. But it's the sixth annual scholarship fund. We've awarded scholarships to students at Kansas City, Kansas Community College. And they have all been very appreciative and done well with it. Phil had an abiding interest in mentoring young writers, and at his memorial service, it was packed, a huge auditorium full of people, and one of the speakers asked how many people here had their first reading in Kansas City thanks to Phil Miller. And every hand in the room,
That's a beautiful legacy.
A sea of white, you know, doves rising. It was just beautiful.
Well, this is going to be a lot of fun.
So we try to continue that, too.
Yeah. This is going to be a lot of fun because the themes deal with love in all its different forms, the woes of love, you know, love stinks, all of that kind of stuff. And participants will have the opportunity to read two poems or one long poem or a short prose piece, right?
That's correct. And if anyone wishes to sign up beforehand, they can email Rhiannon Ross at rrross, at Riverfront Readings and sign up. They can also sign up at the event itself. We'll also be having a silent auction. We have some wonderful artwork that's been donated. We'll have book baskets contributed by local writers. It's a fun event. Anyone who knew Phil knew that he was wickedly humorous. And if I may, just to set the tone for our reading, I'd like to read a short poem by Phil entitled Love. Love is dumb. Makes the world go round, and maybe that's what's wrong when we should slow down. We keep on moving when we need to stay put. It keeps us slipping, sliding in the groove and out. Love is dumb. Says go where we should stay home. Says hot when we should cool. Look at the two of them walking hand in hand. Eyes glancing, catching. Watch out for that tree, fool. As if they would walk to the edges of the earth and not mind falling. And since they're always giving in, surrendering, how can they win? Love is dumb. What can it say? Thinks one in one is one. Thinks more, not less. Not no, just yes.
I like that.
Thanks. I do, too. It's one of my favorites of Phil's Valentine poems. The Valentine Massacre reading started with the Collaborators, which was the writer's group that Phil formed back in the 80s, and they felt there was a need for a little cynicism, maybe, around the holiday. So we've combined the two events into the scholarship fundraising.
I'm talking to Eve Ott with Riverfront Readings, and she's talking about the Phil Miller Scholarship Reading Valentine Day Massacre in Open Mic. Now, that's going to be held Friday, February 10th, at the Writer's Place, which is at 3607 Pennsylvania, just right around the corner from our studio here. And will people need to sign up in advance, or can they just show up?
They can just show up and sign up there. It will depend on, you know, time limitations, but we'll try to give everybody a chance to read who wants to.
Yeah.
And it's always fun. And there are refreshments and companionship and fun.
So, you know, this it's really a lot of fun because you never know what you're going to hear. There are probably some serious, you know, words being thrown out there, and then some irreverent, because it's love, after all, right?
Yes, and it makes the world go round.
And I want to make sure that our listeners know that participants have the opportunity to read either two poems, or one long poem, or a short prose piece, because you want to get everyone in at the mic that wants to read, right?
Yes, and we do ask people to stick to that, because we do want to give everyone a chance to read. And the poems don't have to necessarily, or prose, don't have to necessarily be by the reader.
Right.
If they wish to read something of Phil's or something of another poet, that's fine, too.
That's terrific. And the scholarship then is awarded to one English or creative writing student in the humanities department at the Kansas City, Kansas Community College each year. And, you know, Eve and I were talking in the, just a little bit before the show started, and I think maybe we should do a show here on Artspeak Radio of past recipients and, you know, let them talk about what the scholarship meant to them and kind of see where they are in terms of their career as writers and poets. What do you think?
I think that's a wonderful
idea. I love that idea.
I do, too. And we have had recipients read at the open mic. We've given them a special slot, and they've all been wonderful. And Phil would have been proud.
Beautiful. Yeah. Now, along with the reading event, as Eve mentioned, there is going to be silent auction and refreshments and, of course, the donations for the Philip Miller Scholarship. And that, again, is Friday, February 10th at the Writer's Place, 3607 Pennsylvania. And it's a fun time to be had.
Yes. Yeah. It is fun. Coming in, it would be fun to see many people there to enjoy it.
Yeah. So this is coming up with Riverfront Reading. You're fine, honey. Anything coming up in the near future that you want to mention to listeners?
We have our regular readings on the second Friday of every month, and the schedule is on the Riverfront Reading website,
okay,
and also it's listed at the Writer's Place website. So check us out.
Yeah,
we have lots of wonderful readings coming up.
And now, is there a Facebook page of Riverfront Reading?
Yes.
Yeah.
Facebook page. Right.
Man, don't we just love the social media?
We do.
You know, it's
a great time waster.
Well, but it's also a great place to check out information, especially for me in the creative community. I get invites constantly for events and this and that, so it's a great place to
from that point of view. And then I've met many writers on social media.
Yeah.
And then one of your guests today is one that I knew.
Who would
first
that be? Who is that?
Jameson Bam.
Oh,
that I met first on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'm so pleased to meet him for the first time today.
He's kind of a nice guy in person, I think.
He's a very nice guy.
Except he once kicked me under the table, Jameson.
We'll
let him explain that later. But for now, I want to thank you so much, my friend Eve Ott with Riverfront Readings, the Phil Miller Scholarship Reading Valentine Day Massacre open mic this Friday, February 10th at the Writer's Place. It's at 8 o'clock, by the way.
Yes.
So,
thank you, Maria. We appreciate it.
You bet, darling. We're going to be right back with Artspeak Radio after this. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd with Artspeak Radio every Wednesday, noon to 1, here on KKFI KKFI.org if you're listening online, or 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, if you're listening on the radio, your phone app. TuneIn Radio has an excellent radio app that you can tune in to any place. You know, again, I want to mention to you, I want to really encourage you to get up off your duff. Call 888-931-0901, because this is an important community radio. This is your radio. This is your opportunity to support us, make us a priority in your lives. If you've tuned in and listened to either ArtSpeak Radio, which we're on right now, Arts Magazine at noon on Mondays with Michael Hogue, Anything Goes with Charles Ferruza on Friday from noon to 1. If you've listened to any of the shows, any of the lineups on Saturdays, the music programs, you'll realize we have a very diverse programming of music and rockabilly, Tejano music, just everything that you want in public affairs programs. So please call 888-931-0901. Don't make me beg. Don't make me beg. You can also donate online at kkfi.org. You know what? I'm going to turn my attention to Lori Button, who's just a terrific artist and educator and all. If you've ever been in Brookside and noticed the wonderful paintings there in one of the shops called Stuff, you're really taken by her work, which is beautiful. She's also not only a painter, and she draws. She's got a studio art class called Hoop Dog Studio, which is the compound where her and Catherine live and work, and they share their place with Cleo the Mastiff and Dot the cat and 12 chickens. I saw them online. 12 chickens and counting. They are makers of art and craft and spend many an hour in the studio and their large, beautiful garden. Now, she offers classes that meet one night a week for 8 weeks at the Hoop Dog Studio at 3308 Troost Avenue. Just so much going on, and Lori, it's just a real pleasure to meet you.
You too. It's great to be here.
Terrific. Well, like I mentioned, I first became aware of your work, your paintings at Stuff, and they're really beautiful. They're very visually stunning, the composition, the color, everything I really like. And as I found out more information about you, you are teaching classes,
yes.
And this is great. This
yes.
is great for the community. So who are the classes for primarily?
They are for adults. That does include high school age students. And they're for anyone who has an interest in learning to draw or paint. There's no experience required.
Mm-hmm.
I generally get people that have had an interest in learning for a long time and sometimes dabble a little bit themselves. I've also had people that have actual art degrees that went into the work world and have been away from their art for a while and just
yeah.
want to kind of come back and get a refresher.
Well, what I find interesting about, as I went to your website, hoopdogstudio.com,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
As I went to this and looked at the photographs and everything, it just looks like a fun place to be. You've got your garden, you've got your studio space, you've got the chickens running around, and it's right there at 3308 Troost Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's a beautiful location.
Thank
yeah.
you. Yes. We've had a lot of fun developing the properties. We've been there for 12 years now, and we've participated in the Urban Garden Show a couple of times with our garden, and our studio space is used in different ways. My studio is there, and we host, I think we have 8 other artists that work in our building right now. They rent studio space from us, and there's a group called the Truce Coalition that is a neighborhood group that has been working on a volunteer basis, but very closely with the city in developing a new vision for Troost Avenue and the redevelopment of Troost.
I love that, yeah.
And so our the front part of our studio building has become known as the clubhouse for that group. It's a fun and energizing and creative space for people to really start to think about the future of Troost. And
yeah,
that is one
yeah.
of the big projects that we are a part of right now at Hoop Dog.
That's amazing. along with the photographs, I also saw some performance. You know, mm-hmm. It looked like you had somewhat of a stage set up at the studio.
Well, actually, the stage set up is done by the groups that come to perform.
Okay.
There's nothing permanent. In fact, my partner Catherine's, one of her favorite things to say is everything is temporary. And it's a really great philosophy for keeping your mind open to all the possibilities. And there have been some traveling theater groups that come and they show up a couple hours before performance time. They throw up a stage, an incredible kind of DIY theater performance that is incredibly well produced and written, and they fill the house every time they come to town, and it's really an amazing production.
It's got, you know, just feels like it's got a really great energy. Now, the card that I have in my hand is shows intro to drawing, intro to oil painting exercises, mm-hmm. and drawing and oil painting Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. This is for January. Do you have another section of classes coming
up?
Yes.
Basically, I run, the sessions are 8 weeks long, and I usually lay off a week or so between sessions. So there'll be another session starting the end of March. And my basic forms of advertising are, again, as you were talking about social media, I post the schedule on my Facebook page and also on the website, Hoop Dog Studio. And I put flyers in every coffee shop in town.
Yeah, and you have a website for your work, or is it connected to Hoop Dog Studio?
It's basically everything's together.
Okay.
All the sort of hats that I wear are together on the website of Hoop Dog Studio.
I'm going to come down. I'm going to come down and chase a chicken around.
Totally. We love to have visitors.
Yeah.
Just give us a little notice, but we do love to share our space, both the studio space and the garden.
So how can people get in touch with you?
Basically, if you want to friend me on Facebook, that would be great. And you can also contact me at my email address, which is Lori, L-O-R-I, at hoopdogstudio.com.
Terrific. Terrific. Well, thank you so much for coming in today. I know
it's very
short.
To be here.
Yeah, come back and share with us some upcoming events and that sort of thing, because you know that's a really thriving place that you've created there. So thank you for your part in the community.
I love it.
Terrific. We're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio right after this. Of course, you're listening to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd with you every Wednesday, noon to 1 on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. You can listen to us online. You can listen to us online at www.kkfi.org. Hey, Jameson, I'm just now healing from that big kick that you gave me under the table.
You kicked me first. So.
I want to say that Jameson Bales is a roving correspondent for Poetry Bay, and he's also the curator for the 2017 KC Poetry Throwdown, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. But first of all, I want to say congratulations to you for the Legends of Doho, your new work.
Thank you.
That just was published.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's talk about that.
The Legends of Doho project I've been working on for about 10 years. It's a collection of slices of my life that seem to circumvent a very tragic moment in my life where a very good friend of mine who was a huge influence on me in high school passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was putting the manuscript together, I kind of looked at specific moments in my life and how everything seemed to intersect in time but not be bound by time as well.
Sure.
So Jason Reberg has been nagging me for some time to get some work out. I finally succumbed to his nagging, and the collection is entitled Legends of Doho.
And this is your first solo work, right?
First solo work in about a little over 10 years.
Yeah, but you're a prolific writer. I mean, you're always writing. reading, doing something in the community. Also, again, being a co-curator for the 2017 KC Poetry Throwdown. This is the second?
It's the second year for the Throwdown, correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And for our listeners that have just tuned in, I'm talking to with Jameson Bales, poet, writer, kicker of the shins under the table. He's going to premiere the book at Uptown Arts Bar at 3611 Broadway, and that's going to be Monday, February 13th from 7 to 9.
Correct.
Yeah, but you told me there is an open mic before there, that?
It's part of Blue Mondays, which is hosted by Sharon Eicher, and there will be an open mic, I believe it starts at 7. And then I had asked superstar Krista Siglin, who's a very talented poet here in Kansas City, if she'd be willing to pitch in as a special guest, and she did. So she'll have her own separate set, and then I'll follow her.
Now, for our listeners, would you treat us with one of your pieces on Read on Air? By
sure,
Jameson
I will.
Bales? Yeah, and again, it's Legends of Doho by Spartan Press. It just came out, and Jameson's website is jamesonbales.wordpress.com, and I believe I have that on the Facebook page, or,
I'm pretty easy to find.
Yeah.
The piece I'll read is entitled Present Day. Cerulean skies conscribe drifting contingencies, a monotone chant across vacant midtown rooftops along West 39th this evening. She whispered, nothing is the result of immediacy. A five and dime resneat ensnared on the counter, last week's coffee stain cracked the linoleum. She whispered, nothing is the result of immediacy. Second hand on the clock radio enters a coma. Madness is a tailor-made overcoat in your veins. She whispered, nothing is the result of immediacy. Cerulean skies conscribe drifting contingencies, a monotone chant across vacant midtown rooftops along West 39th this evening. And her biological clock keeps on ticking.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Thanks.
You know, I have to say, Jason Reberg, thank you for pushing him to get the solo work out. I know that you've been published in numerous literary journals and magazines and anthologies and all that. And I think one of the most recent one was the 2016 Hessler Street Poetry Fair Anthology.
That's correct.
And then another one, Delirious, a poetic celebration of Prince. Well, and there's so many more, but we're really happy and congratulations for this.
Thank you.
10 years in the works.
It's been a while. I took a break from writing, but a couple of years ago I was nagged, pushed, pulled, encouraged to get back in, and it just seems to continue to snowball, but in a very good, way.
You know, we talked a little before the show, and we talked about the Poetry Throwdown. Tell us the dates about that, and just give us a snippet of people who are going to perform, because you said they're coming from all over.
They are. This is a sequel to last year's event. The event takes place April 21st to 23rd. It will take place at Prospero's Books and the Writer's Place as well. We have poets coming from 11 different states to participate in 3 days' worth of readings. We have five headliners this year. George Wallace, an excellent poet from New York City. Bill Gaynor from California. John Dorsey, who's the poet laureate of Bell, Missouri. William Taylor Jr. from San Francisco. And R.A. Washington, who's a powerhouse in Cleveland, Ohio. Those are our five headliners. And in addition to that, we have featured poets, again, from 11 different states participating in readings at Prospero's. And then in addition to that, the Writer's Place on the 22nd of February, we'll be hosting a publisher's talk, which seven different editors from different publication companies will come in. And they'll each have a chance to speak on different aspects of publishing, and there'll be a question and answer time period after that as well. So.
No, I find that fascinating. I do like to attend poetry readings and all that, but I also like to hear from the writer themselves sort of that craft of writing. You know, what is their discipline? What is their inspiration and that sort of thing?
Correct. We tried to enhance last year's program, so it wasn't just readings. It was a chance to get an overall experience for what it takes to actually get your foot in the business. How do you start a press? Mm-hmm. How do you promote a press? How do you start a tour? All that kind of stuff. So It'll be a big weekend.
Well, and you've been at it for some time, because I know that you constantly promote local writers and authors and poets between here and Lawrence and Topeka, and I think you took a road trip with our friend Sean Pavey.
Correct.
And a couple of other people, what, in Ohio or something?
Yeah, we went to Cleveland, Ohio last February, and I will be recruiting a couple other writers to join me on tour. I'll be taking a mini tour throughout the year. I'll be heading back to Ohio May 5th to attend the Jawbone Festival, which is in Kent, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And during St. Patrick's Day weekend, which a poet named Jameson should participate in poetry readings during St. Patrick's Day weekend. I'll be in Dallas, Texas with a few poets, mm-hmm. and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, May 6th. And then speaking of Sean Pavey, Sean and I are heading to New York City in September for
congratulations.
It'll be a cool trip. So.
Yeah. Well, let me know when you make it to ever get around to French Lick, Indiana. That is the poetry headquarters of the
Larry Bird. Larry Bird's birthplace. Well, correct.
There you go.
Yeah. I'll see what I can do. Work in progress.
So again, Uptown Arts Bar at 3611, Monday, February 13th. Legends of Doho. Will you be there to sign your work?
Correct.
And people can purchase your Legends of Doho there.
Correct.
And if they want to maybe find some more out about you or your work, or read some other things from you.
How do they find me on Facebook, or you can check out the website as well. So
very good. Mm-hmm. Did I leave anything else out?
I think we've covered as much as we could.
Yeah.
Right. And for the record, you did kick me first.
Oy vey. Well, you know, you saw I had to be carried in here.
Absolutely.
I love you, Jameson. You're just a real joy to have. And, you know, I thank you for what you do in the community for, you know, writers and authors and upcoming people. You really do promote up-and-coming writers.
I always view there's a role as authors that when you get a chance to get your foot in the door, you've got to bring people along, because without a sense of
Send the elevator down.
Yeah. Exactly. You have to. You constantly be recruiting and exposing diverse voices as much as possible. So
we love you, Jameson.
I appreciate you having me on here.
You bet. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this. Hey, this is ArtSpeak Radio. Maria Vasquez-Boyd here. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. And if you want, you can listen to us online. KKFI.org. Thanks so much for tuning in, making us a priority. Next up, I have Patty Reese and Susie Aaron from the Vallon Store. Did I pronounce that right? I never know if I pronounce that right. The recent work that's there, currently there at the Vallon Store, is Marfa, Texas Collections, curated by Susie Aaron and Kenny Johnson. It opens Sunday, February 12th, from 12 to 5. And we're going to find out all about what the exhibition is about. I know that, as I mentioned, the opening reception is Sunday, February 12th, and it has deals with the work of Donald Judd, who is an internationally known artist from New York, and actually he was born here in Excelsior Springs, Missouri, and we're going to talk about his collection from Marfa. So welcome, Patty. Welcome, Susie.
Thank you. Thanks for having us this morning. We appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. So, it's interesting because Marfa, Texas, when Donald Judd went there in 1976, it was just sort of a way to escape New York and find a big place, a huge space. And so he found this in Marfa, Texas. So tell us about the collection, what we're going to see. Susie?
I think the interesting thing about his choice of where to go is we often find artists finding leftover places to create special spaces. And Marfa just happened to be a place that he found in his drive across America. But essentially, he needed a place where he could, find a place where he could create an atmosphere where he could share his ideas about art.
Mm-hmm.
And his ideas were to explore an idea bigger than just a single snapshot or a single experience. Sometimes mm-hmm. you go to a museum and you see one piece by one mm-hmm. artist, and the next right next to it is a piece by another artist. Well, he wanted to create a space where he could have in one of his buildings 100 pieces
where they could explore one idea. And that was what was unique about this town. It was cheap. It was an old army base. And he could acquire the butcher shop and the cleaning shop and the old army base and explore and put his ideas there.
You know, and I do want to mention that he was the leader of the minimalist movement, and he helped to create an appreciation for clean lines and uncluttered space and all that. So it's going to be really interesting to see the work, the photographs and all, and you know, from Marfa, because when I think just recently there's been a lot of talk about Marfa as sort of one of those places where the aliens ships have landed. Or I think they have. There's a huge following, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Well, you know, there are communities that are receptive to collective ideas and being open-minded about all kinds of ways in which to collect and share ideas about what's happening. And Marfa is one of those towns.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think we see those collective communities. We've got them here in Kansas City and the Crossroads. We saw it happen with music in 18th and Vine.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think what's happened at the Volume Store and what is happening in other communities is they're trying to be receptive to being a space where like-kind people can come and explore ideas about creativity.
Right.
And our show is about collections. So it's a collective experience of what happened in Marfa, but it's also a collective experience of what's happening in Alma at the Volume Store.
And I want to mention the Volume Store is an art gallery and event center that's located at 24098 Volume Road, 8 miles southwest of Alma, Kansas, on Old K-10 Highway. The volumestore.com is the website, and it is in the foothills, and it's very beautiful, Patty Reese. I enjoyed my visit there when I came to interview you and Kai Anderson and a couple of other women that were collaborating on an exhibition there at the store. It was beautiful.
Meg Lipke and Vicky Shear, both from Brooklyn, as well as Kai, and it was a wonderful exhibit called Paper Giants. One of the things we like to do at Volland is to bring in new ideas, as Susie mentioned, and explore those ideas. We're a place for art and community, and that's what's happening at the Volland Store. It's become a really lively gathering place from people not only in the immediate area, but also from around the state as well.
And well, I think that the area, the Flint Hills, anyway, have been a real inspiration for artists and creative people, and because this art gallery and event center is there, it's just one more reason to visit the Flint Hills.
Exactly. We have been called the art gallery on a dirt road. We actually don't have a dirt road. We have a gravel road.
Right before the train track.
Exactly. It's quite surprising when you arrive there. It's a beautiful building, and it's just a comfortable, warm, inviting place to be in. It's a good space.
It really is. Now, I want to mention that as part of this press release that I received, Susie Aaron and David Dell traveled to Marfa, Texas, photographed the collections there, and then you curated this exhibit that allows viewers to share in the benefits of Donald Judd's work and, as a collector. Now, the photos will become part of the Marfa exhibit for others to see and experience, but I also realize that you have this little blurb that says, we want to see what you collect. So let's talk about that.
Yes. Well, Susie had a brilliant idea. She decided that it would be really interesting to see what the Flint Hills collects.
Mm-hmm.
And so she and Kenny, the curators, generously invited people to bring in what they collect. And the response has been very interesting.
I imagine. We
are really looking forward to some interesting exhibits. One man walked in yesterday and he said, well, how much room do you have? He said, I think my collection of Indian artifacts is going to take a whole table. And so we're kind of scrambling right now, making sure that we have plenty of space. But we have a lot of space, and we plan to photograph people's collections and then print them right there as they wait and put them up on the wall.
That's
and they
beautiful.
Will become a part of Flint Hills Collect. So in one part of the gallery, you'll see these incredibly beautiful photographs that are large scale and really give you a sense of what Marfa is like.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other wall, you'll see all the different kinds of collections that people in the Flint Hills collect. So I think it'll be quite an interesting contrast and comparison, and it will be a fun afternoon. We're looking forward to it. And that's Sunday, Sunday, February 12th from 12 to 5 p.m.
So the curators are inviting you to bring your collections to the opening reception this February 12th, 12 to 5 p.m. And, you know, tools, quilts, arrowheads, spurs, salt and pepper, whatever. Is there something that you won't want to see or in the photo?
No, actually, one of the most interesting things I think is when you think about collecting, you might be thinking narrowly, but some people have really thought in a very big way. For example, Donald Judd collected buildings to house his ideas.
Mm-hmm.
He invited architect Robert Irwin, and Robert Irwin collects light. Now, when you think about collecting, you wouldn't necessarily think of light, but he collects light and then creates atmospheres in which you get to experience that. So collecting is a very large concept, and it will be really fun to see how people interpret it.
You know, you're right. I think that the vision, when you say collector, you know, it does come to mind of certain, you know, order of things that you would expect. How long will this show be up?
Through the end of March, March 26th, will be the closing reception.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the exhibit, if people would like to bring in photographs of their collections, they can do that during our opening hours, which are Saturdays and Sundays between noon and 5. Occasionally, the gallery will be closed if there's a private event scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find out that information on our website, which is thevolandstore.com. That's V-O-L-L-A-N-D, thevolandstore.com.
You know, it's really interesting. Out there in Alma, Kansas, again, in the Flint Hills and all that, people know about this place. People are talking about this space. This is going to be quite an interesting exhibition of work, not only of Donald Judd and collectors of all sorts. It's just a perfect place for this to happen, to take place, right?
Well, we think so. Thank you for saying those kind of things.
Thank you.
Yeah. You have a lot of, I would say, so many exhibitions that you wouldn't expect there in Alma, Kansas, because you go to New York and show the artists there, and there was one that, oh gosh, Jay Arias.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know if he's from Kansas City still or
actually
he's moved on.
Was originally from Great Bend, Kansas, but he now is a professor at LSU in Louisiana. So.
He was one of my teaching assistants at the Nelson Atkins Museum, so it's lovely to see him, you know,
he's
thrive
great.
And go on from there. And again, thevolandstore.com for more information. The opening reception is this Sunday, February 12th, 12 to 5 p.m. And if people want to get in touch with you, come to see the gallery and the store, would it be best to have them give you a call first to make sure that you're not in the middle of a special event or that you're there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They can either email us through through the website. We also have a Facebook page, and you can always send us a message for that too.
Sure.
We are, and we do open by appointment during the week. So if the weekends don't work, give us a call.
Terrific. Well, we're out of time, but I want to thank you, Patty Reese. I know it goes really fast. Patty Reese and Susie Aaron, thank you so much. Do you have any final words that we left off that we didn't mention?
We would just love to welcome you.
That would be great.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You bet. You'll come back, won't you?
Sure.
Okay, excellent. Well, that concludes another episode of ArtSpeak Radio, and we're so happy that you tuned in with us. I want to thank Arzi Umali, Eve Ott, Patty Reese, Susie Aaron, Lori Button, and Jameson Bales. Next week, February 15th, the Nerman Museum's Bruce Hartman and Karen Garrity will be here, sitting in the studio live. We'll also have Gus Davis, who's a creator of Boombox, which is suitcases made into boomboxes. They're a lot of fun. I met him at Makers Faire. Also, we've got Joel Barrett, who's going to drop in and talk to us about what's going on with his writing, his blog, and his performances. Stay tuned. I'm going to invite you to stay tuned next for Jeff Harshbarger, Jazz in the Afternoon. You know what? Thank you so much for listening. You can still call 888-931-0901 and support this local radio station. You know, we love you. Like us on Facebook. Don't forget, we do have podcasts available every week of the show, either through our website, kkfi.org, or iTunes. You can subscribe to both. We love you. Thank you for listening. And now I'm going to say it. You can say it with me. Honey, I'm coming home.